Welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast where every week we get together and discuss the sermon that is preached. And this Sunday is June 27th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I'm good. I'm good at numbers. My name's Joe, and I'm joined by Tammy DeLau.
Awesome to be back.
And also Pastor Thad. And Pastor Thad, this week we are talking about prayer. We're continuing the series, the summer series of Sermon on the Mount. And you want to just dive into it? And I mean, this is going to be a good conversation, I think.
Yeah, I think so, because my goodness, how important is prayer? And then here we have Jesus teaching us about prayer. And we're going to have this week and next week. And so I think it's probably important to kind of point out that the way I'm kind of dividing these weeks up is I want to kind of look at the approach to prayer, which will be this week. How should we think about prayer? How should we look at prayer as we go into it? And then I think next week we'll come into more as we actually look at the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer, of, you know, how should we think about our appeals? How should we think about what we're praying? So How do we think about prayer? How do we go into this? How do we desire this? And then let's say, okay, what should gauge, what should filter our prayer in our prayer life? Because I'll say this, the Lord's Prayer is one of my favorite prayers. I pray it all the time. Like I literally on my prayer, in my prayer journal, I have, when I'm going through my prayer list, I have the Lord's Prayer on there. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying the Lord's Prayer because really, and you expect no less from Jesus, it's really kind of the perfect model of prayer. He covers everything that you would need to cover in there, really. And so I just love it. And I'm excited about next week. But this week I want to talk about the approach to prayer, how we think about prayer. And I hope it's going to be very helpful for lots of people. And my hope is that there's just at least a nugget gleaned from what we talk about today that could maybe really help somebody in their prayer life. So as we're talking about the approach to prayer, I really want to focus on this idea of a connection with God, right? Because that's what prayer is, you know, connecting with God, building that relationship, all the while having confidence in God. And then sometimes understanding, we need a heightened connection with God. Maybe there's something going on, or maybe we're struggling, and fasting comes into that. And so we're just going to really kind of stop down. We're going to talk about the text. But I think what would be really interesting, too, is as we share about our own personal experiences with prayer, our own personal experiences with fasting, how that might help some people. And so, looking at that. So we're going to be here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, as we're just kind of jumping in there. Jesus starts off and says, listen, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, the street corners, that they can be seen by others. And Jesus says, truly, they've received their rewards. Now, what's kind of interesting about this, and we'll just touch on this before, again, I want to say kind of heavy application-oriented. You know, there's nothing wrong with standing and praying. Mm-hmm. In the scripture, we see people standing, we see them kneeling, we see them prostrate, right? There's nothing inherently wrong with those prayer requests. There's nothing wrong with being in the synagogue or being in your church or whatever you want to say. It's, you know, praying in any one of those positions, right? There's nothing inherently wrong with that. Yeah. But we get a clue here about the hypocrisy and what's happening here where it says street corners there in verse 5. Because it's a different word than the word for street he used just a few verses earlier. A few verses earlier, he was talking about giving to the needy in narrow streets. In this case, the word he uses is for wide streets or the widest part of the street. In other words, where everyone is.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, so you guys are making it a point here that when you're praying and you're standing in public, and they would have times of prayer during the day, which was, again, no big deal. But you guys are all, you're hypocrites. You're always trying to stand in the widest part of the street. What's also interesting is they would often do this on the second, fifth day of the week, to which they would say that's the days that, you know, Moses went up on the mountain. But it also happened to be the market days, when all the people would be coming into the town. So you guys are hypocrites, right? You're wanting to stand in front of people. Yeah. These are the days when everybody's going to be flooding the town. So it's very convenient for you to be out there in this widest part of the street, you know, praying and all of that and being a hypocrite, because you're really looking for the self-aggrandizing action of prayer where you're drawing attention to yourself. And this strikes me because it also, and I want to be careful how I say this, it also kind of seems political. because you're out there almost like a politician saying, look at me. Think about some of these guys maybe wanting to attract followers, to be known, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost even political in nature. I mean, you're trying to do this for what you're going to look like. You're trying to do this for completely the wrong motive. And so these guys are just being hypocritical. Now, we don't have people in our time necessarily doing things like that. I mean, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's getting a billboard and being like, look at me pray.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, if anything, I think the converse might be true. We're embarrassed to pray. We don't want people to think we're one of those. You know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think what it does, I think another way that we can look at this, though, is we can get overly consumed with what people think about us when we pray, and it takes our focus off of God. Mm-hmm. I think that's more true in our culture is we would be terrified to pray in public or in our small group or something like that. And so we're so worried about how we're looking that we're beginning to really connect when we are publicly praying. So
for both reasons, pride is the culprit. Either I'm prideful praying in the street in Jesus' times or I'm prideful not wanting to pray in front of people.
Absolutely. Okay. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. But again, it has to do with you. You're not, and if you're focusing on you, who are you not focusing on, right?
Exactly.
You're not focusing on that real connection with God. Mm-hmm. So again, when you're talking about approach, the approach can't be worried about you and what others think about you and things like that. The approach needs to be more on connecting with God. So in verse 6 there it says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. So again, this idea of a room with no windows, a door that's able to shut, a place to be alone, this really denotes this idea of fostering a relationship, fostering a connection. You're wanting to be alone with Jesus Christ. And when I think about this in this prayer time, I think about Jesus in John 15:14, where he's talking about abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Yeah. There's this idea, there's this connection, there's this intimacy that should be desired by the Christian in prayer and with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes along the same lines of religion versus relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a real push in at least my generation for, we don't want religion, we want relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus. And I mean, this is a huge part of it. Prayer is a huge part of it.
Yeah. And so it's just this beautiful idea here. And this is really, it seems so simple, but I think it's so deep with this idea of, don't worry about what you're saying, don't worry about what others think, but strive to focus on the connection. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus has also given us clear insight that there needs to be this connection beyond just the public. It also needs to be private, right? Beyond beyond just that, but this private. So when you pray, go in, and again, there's nothing wrong with praying in public or standing or kneeling or and praying in church. But there needs to be this time where there's that intimate connection where you're together with Jesus. So in talking about the goal and just, it says your Father will reward you in secret. And I think, and again, we'll talk about several different kinds of rewards. But the connection with God, the relationship with God, having God, that is the first and ultimate reward, right? You can't get away from this this moment. And I think about Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Wow, do we need that in life? Yeah, and so I'm thinking about fostering this connection. I'm getting along with Jesus. And as I connect in him, as I abide in him, I will have the peace of God. Because notice here it says, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, abiding in him.
Yeah.
And so it's just this beautiful connection. The reward is the relationship itself. But in the midst of that relationship, you'll have peace.
Yeah.
You'll have kindness. You'll have that connection as you're abiding. And I think, again, that has to be the approach to prayer is, before anything, God, I am seeking a connection with you. And as I abide in you, then I'll begin to experience even more rewards. But only those rewards come when I'm in you.
Yeah.
Right?
And I love how it says in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every little thing, that's just, we take everything to God in prayer? It's interesting. I'm wondering what this Tammy's quote is. Is that a Tammy Dalau
so
quote?
Tammy, yeah. Well, Tammy, not from me. Tammy has... I'll let Tammy share the story about she's given me some quotes, and she's given me quotes that are so good I can't figure out which one I want to use.
Oh, there's too much wisdom.
We have a dear friend. Andy and I were Campus Crusade kids, and our crusade director became a dear friend over time. Those years, 12 years ceases to be nothing as you age.
And that's true.
John was a crusade director, went to seminary, and then had a church in Janesville. He passed away several years ago, but his family has given me access to all his manuscripts that he preached on. And so he was the kind of pastor who would take a book and go through it, and Matthew is one that he happened to do that for. So as to come here and have information, and just as I do like to study and look at the scriptures that we're talking about before we come on, so it's thoughtful and prayerful and not just off the cuff. Mm-hmm. I found some great quotes just talking about rewards, and there's some great quotes anyway, just shared a few of them with Pastor Thad. So,
yeah, and they were so good that I'm sitting here struggling. I don't know which one.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out Sunday.
Yeah, you'll find out Sunday. But it's just so good. And so one of the things I think I just want to stress with people who are getting worried about this prayer time and how should I think about this? How should I focus on this? I just can't stress enough. It has to do with your heart, your motive, and just the desire to actually connect with God. Mm-hmm. Before you think about what you get, connect with God, because when you're in that connection, when you're abiding in the vine, everything else is going to take care of that. You're going to have peace, and you can move on from there with what you're seeking. Again, with answered prayer, it's a part of it, of course. And so in verse 7, it talks about abiding in me, words abiding in you. Ask whatever you wish will be done for you. Because by this my Father's glorified that you'll bear much fruit. So yeah, you know, there'll be answered prayer and what's happening there. And then I'd also say this too. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says this, and this is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest." And I love this part. "Rest for your souls. Mm-hmm. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because, you know, we can find rest physically, take a nap, whatever, that kind of stuff. But that rest for your soul, that's a Jesus thing. That's a God thing.
Yeah.
And so, again, you're getting this connection, and the reward is in and of itself, where you go and recharge and you have this connection with Jesus Christ, this abiding quality. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a spiritual soulful thing, but I can even, it's so powerful that it's almost like physical. Mm-hmm. And I call it a micro sabbatical. But when I start to feel drained spiritually, I know it. I feel it. Mm-hmm. I'm dry. Mm-hmm. And I need to get with my Savior. Mm-hmm. And I'll come to the office and I'll say, "Michelle, unless it's an emergency, I'm with Jesus this morning or a certain afternoon, or maybe I'll leave early or whatever." And what I do there is I am going to be with Jesus because I recognize that I can't make big decisions. I can't do certain things without being fully abiding in Him and having that connection and being filled up. And, you know, for the Christian, and I remember, I think it was Tyler, one of our elders, I was talking with this one day. Imagine yourself by the Jordan River, right? A little bit of an arid region, but right there by the river, it's very green, it's very lush, and the river is flowing. Christians should always be by the river. They should always be connected to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, there'll be times when the river floods, and you just, man, you're so full of the Spirit and God is so with you. It's just amazing. And just everywhere is great. I mean, it's just, it's a high point, right? But the river should never be in drought, right? When you're a Christian, that connection with Jesus. And so when I start to see my connection with Jesus because of my own fault or lack of attention and the river is becoming dry. I need to get back and connect with him and let the river flow. And it's awesome when it's a flood season, right? Mm-hmm. But for the Christian, we should always make sure that the river is strong.
Yeah.
And that the area is green and that our souls are refreshed. Mm-hmm. And we need this, and it's in Jesus and that connection. So I'm curious, how have you guys sensed some of these things in your life, and what actions have you taken to make sure the river is strong, to make sure that the presence is with you and you're connecting with God? Or what happens when you realize that it's not there? You know, just, yeah, that would be my thoughts.
Go for it. You start.
Man, when I'm feeling that heaviness in my soul of just like worn out, every morning I try to at least be alone with the Lord in some sort of capacity and just let music play and just, the Psalms are awesome to just mm-hmm. read and let them wash over you. You know, as a deer pants, I want to pant for you, Lord, and refresh me. It's just simple prayers like that, Lord. It's like, refresh me, Lord. And also evangelism, like when you start telling people about Jesus, I feel like, man, that, I don't know, it does something to your spirit or soul. I don't know, mm-hmm. but that, it's always a refreshing thing to go and tell somebody about Jesus and speak to them truth, in my opinion. But I don't know, that's the two ways that I find.
So I think a lot of people, we talk about prayer and they're like, well, what does that look like? And where do you do that? And I know mm-hmm. there isn't a pat answer, and that's going to look different for us. But when you are praying, is there a certain place in your home you like to do that? I know pray without ceasing is literal, but so I'm just curious if we share what our prayer closets, quote unquote, look like, if that would help some of those who aren't even sure how to begin.
Where's a place in my house?
What is it? What does that look like? So for me, maybe that will help. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm at home, we have a wall of our babies when they were 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And so obviously I'm a mom and a grandma. So I part of my prayer time is lifting up my family in prayer. So as I'm praying, I see that 3-month-old Megan, and now there is a Cullen, and there are 3 children attached mm-hmm. to her, and I pray for that baby and all that are hers, and I go around, you know, my 7 mm-hmm. children. And so that's something that I do, just because you hear people say, well, it's boring, I fall asleep, my mind wanders. And so that's something, does that make sense? That helps me to stay. Or when I'm praying with women or in our grow group, obviously we care about everybody's prayer requests, but when you've got 14 prayer requests, it can feel so, so overwhelming, you know, to pray that way. And so one of the little tricks that I do with people is I have everyone write their request out on a card and mm-hmm. ask for them to write a specific request, not Bertha's Bunyan. We love your Aunt Bertha, but we want to know what's going on in your heart. And then to also give an attribute of the Lord that they're seeing. So not only as we're, as we're beseeching the Lord for our brothers and sisters, we're also praising the Lord that they saw his faithfulness this week. And so I take those cards, and I've got like a little file in my office, so I'll grab those and pray for them.
Cool.
Or nobody uses mine and Andy's bathroom, but Andy and I typically, and so I will put their names and kind of flip the card. Andy's the most uncurious guy that way, so women's prayer requests are not being looked at. But but then when I'm in the restroom, I see their name and have their requests. And so those are just little tricks that I do to help me. And I just wonder if some people, prayer is just so ambiguous and they don't know how to do that. I have a swing like in our yard. And so I love to lay on that swing and look up at the clouds and just see God's beautiful creation. And that's a time where I'm really alone with the Lord. So does that help? I mean, I just wonder if we kind of share what that looks like for us, as opposed to I pray, because I think people don't know how to pray, you know? So do you have any tricks like that help you stay grounded, focused, connect you?
Yeah, I mean, just a prayer list. In my notes on my phone, I'll usually jot them down. And we have a grow group thread where people are people are putting prayer requests out on there, and I'll just put them in my prayer list, and I just kind of go through my prayer list in the morning. And that's kind of, I also do this where I pray the scriptures for different, there was a thing long ago, like 15 years ago, I found this. What do you call that? Where it's like, it's fellowship, and the F means fear the Lord. E, you know,
acrostic.
Yeah. So I kind of pray through that list, and you know, L is love. Lord, show me your love. Show me how much you love me. The same love that the Father has for Jesus. Show me that you love me that much, and help me to love you. And so it's just simple prayers like that. But if you pray those daily, you will notice a total difference in your own life, where if you're praying for the joy of the Lord, or for patience, or for kindness, and those types of things will, they will flow out of you. It's amazing.
I like that. So my prayer closet is either my office here or my office at home, or when I can get out by myself in nature. That becomes another really good moment for me, where I can be alone and just really enjoy that. And it's, I mean, it's been that way since I was a very young Christian growing up, where I did, we had some land. And so I had a few places where I'd love to just go and sit and just pray and praise and all of that, and practice his presence there. So those are kind of some places that I like to get away. And some of the things you guys are talking about too, I think are also very good when you're, talking about as you're coming in, what helps you connect with God. Because one of the things Jesus says here is, as you're coming in with this idea of connection, keep in mind that you can't manipulate God.
Right.
So he says here, and when you pray, in verse 7, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So, you know, when you go into prayer, it's not necessarily the length of your prayer, although there's nothing wrong. I mean, Jesus prayed all night. You know, that sort of thing. He was even repetitive in the sense that he would come back when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the length of prayer itself is not going to help you. The liturgical quality of your prayer, if you're using big words, or if you have a prayer guide, you know, it's not just that. And I want to be careful how I say this. It's also not the aesthetic, charismatic tone of your prayer. You know, you don't hype yourself into a frenzy in prayer, thinking that, well, if I act like what I've seen someone else do, then I will.
If I'm as enthusiastic as Pastor Thad, the Lord will hear.
Yeah, he'll hear me.
Raise my decibels.
You know, that kind of stuff. If I'm just louder, you know. You know, so, but I do think though, it is okay for us, and you guys have already started to hit on it, to have things that help us to focus or concentrate. Help us, like, you know, I light a candle when I when I pray, a journal, I have a prayer list, I have a kneeler that I will use, not every time, but a lot of the times. Someone had made me this little wooden cross for prayer, and so I have this little wooden cross that I'll have with my journal, and that I'll often hold at. And then I'll say this about the kneeler. It's not the high church idea, but I'll be honest, you know, sometimes when you're praying, you can lose focus. But I find, even though the kneeler has a comfortable matting cushion on it, it's still uncomfortable being on your knees in prayer.
It is.
So it's an act of submission, but it's also a focus point that keeps me grounded. Yeah. And as I'm praying, I'm going through my list, I'm holding that cross. It's another focus point. The candle is this recognition of, you know, kind of symbolic of the Holy Spirit being there. And so it's okay to utilize these things. And you were talking about pictures and, and how to use the family, and you had the acrostic. It's totally okay to use those, because those are helping you, driving you into your connection and your focus. But them in and of itself isn't a magic abracadabra, you know, open sesame, God give me, you know, what I want, or any of that kind of stuff. Although it can be very, very helpful. And if some of you are using practices from things you've learned as a kid, or or things you've learned to help, then by all means use those. But the priority is they're helping you stay connected, helping you abide in Christ.
Yeah, and I'll even get up and pace back and forth in my room sometimes, just to help keep the blood flowing and keep me focused on what I'm praying for.
Do you find yourself praying in your head or with an audible voice?
Both. I mean,
okay,
it's audible voice, more than in my head because it just, I don't know, it just helps me focus more, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Tammy was mentioning that was something that helps her too, is praying audibly. And
there's a reason my desk is the way it is. Otherwise, they'd all think I'm talking to myself.
You pretend you're on a FaceTime call all the time.
I mean, obviously, I do in my head also, but that helps to keep me. I don't know if it's just part of being female that we have so many compartments and we can be there at all times. And so it helps to keep me focused if I'm
If I'm walking through Walmart, I'm not praying out loud, typically.
Right.
Yeah, I've been driving in my car and thinking, you know, I wonder if, am I talking to the little GPS person navigator?
You lift up your phone.
I'm so excited because now we can do that. We can sing and praise out loud and at the stop sign. For all people know, we've got a Bluetooth going on in our car and we're having a phone conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So we are free to praise.
We are connected with God, right?
We are.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Joe, how are we doing on time?
We have 5 minutes left.
5 minutes. Okay, so probably need to keep going here.
I
think it's really great, though. In verse 80 says, you know, don't be like that. Don't do all these things because your Father knows what you need him before you ask. The one thing I want to say about that just at this moment is be confident in God when you connect with him. Mm-hmm. He's got you.
Yeah, amen.
You know, go in there not worried about all this stuff. Just know that he's dad. He is the creator of the universe and all of this, but he wants you to be there. He knows what you need before you ask. You can't mess it up. You know, some people are like, I don't know, what if I pray wrong about this? You know, you can't mess up. And then ask the Spirit to pray for you. I think these things are very important. And I just want to, again, relay the point, the approach is connecting.
Yeah.
And you can't mess it up. And so when you go in, be confident that he hears you. Be confident that he's going to be working in this time with you.
Yeah.
And it can be a powerful experience. So have that confidence that he knows.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned just listening to the Holy Spirit. Like, have a time where you're not praying and just listening. Because I remember Debbie Baxley told this story of her daughter, Hannah, was one night couldn't sleep because she was worried about her friend. And she went to Hannah and she said, well, maybe the Holy Spirit is asking you to pray for her. So let's pray for her. So they prayed for her. And the next day they found out that she needed that prayer in that moment at that time. And so I think there is, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You've got to make room for not only talking to him, but allow him to talk to you at the same time.
Awesome. Couldn't agree more. Mm. Last thing, because I know we're almost out of time. When we're talking about connection, sometimes our connection feels a little strained. You know, honestly, it does, or maybe we're going through a hard period. And in the sermon, I'll talk more about when or sometimes we need that heightened connection or the connection doesn't feel as strong. And then maybe we do bring fasting into that because there's something unique about fasting with prayer. It is unique as it involves the totality of mankind, the soul and the body of a man in a dependent, intimate relationship with his creator, heightening his experience with God, hearkening back to Eden. It is an altogether unique and powerful experience because when we come into this dynamic where we are praying, it's not only soulful, but it's physical. It's saying, God, you are so important. I'm bringing my whole body into this experience and my focus on you. I'm even denying myself food. And so I think it's just David used the whole peanut butter and jelly illustration, which I think was so good. I think it was Daniel's series when we talked about this last. It heightens the peanut butter and the jelly by putting them together. And so I think fasting is a way for us to heighten that experience of prayer and to even have some breakthrough. And even in response to some things God may be doing in our life. And we'll talk more about that later, but I wanted to get out there that even in fasting, the point is still connection. The point is still drawing close to God and drawing near to him. And so when we talk about the different kinds of fast or why we or when we may do fasting, remember ultimately the point is still connecting with God. You can't mess this up. Go confident with him. He's got you.
Amen. Good. Anything to add there, Tammy?
Well, and hopefully this is right on that, so you can stop me if I'm wrong. But I just think, you know, your control verse has been those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, they'll be fulfilled. And you talked about the imputed righteousness that we have because of Jesus, the righteousness that we have in the sanctification process. But it feels like there's a third-fold thing when you're talking about prayer and fasting, and that is we are hungering and thirsting for our righteous Savior, and then we get Him in that those prayer and fasting times. So we are being satisfied on many layers, which is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Well said.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us on this podcast. We will see you guys Sunday. Have a blessed week.